Shalom, and welcome to Congregation Beth Am's Parsha podcast. I am Rabbi David Kornberg, and my partner, Rabbi Matthew Earn, is still in Israel, so it gives me the opportunity of inviting a guest host to be with me. It is none other than my daughter, Rachel Kornberg. So Rachel, welcome.
Thank you.
So we are speaking today about not only a new Parsha, but actually a new book of the Torah. It is the book of Shemot, the book of Exodus, and it starts the Passover story. As we think about Passover, as we think about the fundamental ideas, values of Passover, one of the mitzvot is Bechol Dor V'Dor, in every generation, we need to consider ourselves as if we are part of the story. And so I thought, what a great opportunity to invite my 20-something-year-old daughter to come and have a conversation about the differences of the way that we look at these stories and how maybe our younger generation, the next generation, makes the story relevant to themselves. So, Rachel, first of all, welcome. And let's maybe start by asking you the question, you know, growing up, what did you think of these stories? And how now do you start to think about making these stories part of your life?
I mean, I think I had a bit of a non-traditional childhood when it comes to Judaism.
True.
So I was, like, very much immersed in these stories. I always enjoyed the story aspect. I enjoyed, like, Friday nights when you used to tell the kids all the stories and all of that kind of stuff. I always really enjoyed. I always found them interesting.
So in terms of the story of Exodus, right? I mean, this is really what we're talking about now. The story of Passover, the story of kind of the origin of who we are as a Jewish people. Would you say that that is a story that speaks to sort of your generation right now in general? Is that a story that speaks to you?
Not particularly. I think a lot of the stories like within the Torah that we read don't particularly speak to my generation.
Why do you think that is?
I think sometimes it's hard to translate something that was written so long ago and is seeped in so much history into something that it's not quite relevant in today when you take it at face value. I'm sure that there are values within that that you can take, but if you're just reading the story, it would be a little hard to find kind of similarities to your own life.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the questions that as a rabbi, I get asked a lot is how do we try to take these ideas that were written a long time ago in a language that is relatively archaic, right? And actually that a lot of people don't even speak, right? In terms of here in the United States, how do we make them relevant to today? And what I always try to do is I always try to look at the values behind them and then translate those values. Is that something that you feel like is easily done, well done? I don't know. How do you see that?
I think it can be well done. I think a lot of the times it tends to be with young kids or maybe teenagers who aren't always finding a connection to learning about this stuff. They're a lot of times put in Sunday school or in class. So I think in that aspect, like, it's a bit hard to sometimes really get it to translate. I think it can be done. I think, though, that maybe the way that it is now isn't quite translating.
So if you had some advice, you know, for rabbis to say, okay, let's start actually maybe with the Hebrew school side of things. I mean, you went to a day school, you didn't go to Hebrew school, but it's the same general idea. What advice would you have, kind of having gone through that recently, for rabbis on how to translate this?
I mean, I think that it's all about finding the interest for each individual student. The classes that I found the most interesting in school were the ones that I wanted to go to, the electives that I took that spoke to my interests. Obviously, that's a bit hard to do for a general class, but I think maybe finding the interests of the kids in a more personalized manner would better help than just kind of reading the story, talking about its values, and maybe generalizing how it could translate to your everyday.
So it really becomes almost a one-on-one sort of conversation. You know, each student needs to sort of find those things that interest them and then have the rabbi, have the teacher connect that to them in some sort of way.
Yeah, it could be through projects, as much as kids hate projects. I mean, it could be maybe like once a month or something like that, not for every, but every time you start like a new book or something, could be you have an assignment that the kids look through and find something that interests them and are give them a bit more freedom to choose what they want to learn about.
So what are the things that you sort of found that you connected to the most as a kid? And do you connect to those same things now? What are the things that you connect to in your Judaism now?
I mean, I think as a kid, I was very involved, obviously, with, like, camp and USY. So it was really, like, that aspect of it that spoke to me, of Havdalah and, like, all the nigguns and stuff like that that you would do that I really enjoy because I found them beautiful. There were obviously classes in school, that I found interesting as well. There was like a science and religion class that I really liked. But I think that as I've gotten older and obviously stepped outside the Jewish community more, is where I found more my personal interests. So now I'm really interested in like the folklore of Judaism and some of the, like the demonology and like weirder. I've always been like kind of a mythology nerd.
You have.
So like that's always what I've been interested in. So now I'm just kind of translating that into Judaism.
So it's interesting, you know, I've sort of watched you, certainly when you were younger, you were that mythology nerd, but you actually didn't look at the Jewish mythology. You were really looking out. And now it seems that you're taking some time to look at our own tradition to see what we have to say.
I think I just didn't know it was there. I mean, obviously Percy Jackson, all of that kind of stuff was what introduced me to it. And I think that, like, it was never taught as a kid that that was even an option. And so as I've gotten older, I, like, heard something online. Like, I was on TikTok scrolling one day, and someone, like, mentioned something, and I got interested. And so I looked further into it on, like, different websites. I asked my dad about it. and, like, that's how I found out about it. But I think if I'd never seen that online, I never would have known that it was even a topic within Judaism.
And what is it about the mythology that speaks to you so much, you think?
I don't know. I think it's just fantastical and it's interesting and it kind of takes you outside of your everyday life. And I don't quite know what it is. I think it's just like the same reason that people like adventure books or other kind of fantasy books. It's that same kind of like storytelling aspect that just kind of draws me in.
And when you found that back sort of in your own tradition, what was that sort of realization like for you? How did that feel to say, oh, you know, there's actually something in our own tradition as well?
I was confused at first.
Okay, because you hadn't seen it.
I hadn't seen it. And I think that also with this in particular, it's a lot of the time seen in like pagan traditions and stuff like that. So I was a little confused at first as to how it was also within like the Jewish tradition and like what context. And then I started looking stuff up and I asked my dad for resources and I knew a bit about like Jewish mysticism to begin with. So I kind of started there and then started to branch out a bit more with other stuff.
So I want to go back to one of the things that you said earlier, which is this idea of finding something that connects to you. Mm-hmm. And the challenge with that, I'll say, sort of as a rabbi, is I don't know what connects to you unless you tell me.
Yeah.
So how do we do that? How do I make that connection to the 20-something generation, right, who aren't necessarily sharing with me, oh, these are the things that excite me about Judaism, these are the things that, so how do I cross that bridge or make that something that works?
I mean, I think it's just giving access to knowledge. So like again, I never knew that this was a part of Judaism. And so I think maybe asking the kids what their interests are. And so if a teacher found out that I really liked mythology, and they knew that Judaism had mythology to it, they could then recommend that. It's kind of in Hebrew school and day school and that kind of stuff. I think also a lot of the times when people think about Judaism, they think about going to services or maybe their camp or their youth group. They don't really think about all the other aspects that could also be applicable to their everyday lives. If you're interested in law, you have like Beit Deans in Jewish law. If you're interested in mythology and stuff like that, you obviously have what I talked about earlier. There's so much other to Judaism than just like services. And I think teaching people about those aspects and how it can intertwine with their other interests could be that bridge.
So it's interesting if we go back to where we started with this idea of Bechol Dor Vador in every generation, it's interesting to see where the weight of that command falls. It's not on in every generation the rabbis need to make everybody feel like they're part of it. But in every generation, we ourselves need to find our way to be part of it. And maybe that, you know, that onus is, you know, you had the opportunity because you had a great background and you obviously had resources to be able to search and find those things that interested you. What advice would you give to people that maybe don't have the same resources that you in terms of how to find those things that interest them?
I think it's hard. I think a lot of the times, a lot of that information comes from rabbis, like how I asked you when I was curious about it, and obviously not everyone has that opportunity. I think it might be hard to do it on your own. And I think that it's not necessarily just on that person's responsibility to go out and look for those resources. I think it's also on the responsibility of rabbis and like other resources that are already out there to maybe branch out a bit more and give more options.
Find ways to make those resources available in different modalities, different ways than they had before.
Because again, like I never would have known. I think a lot of people may not know about different aspects of Judaism and they wouldn't even know to look. Mm-hmm. And so if they're maybe then flagged down being like, oh, this is also a part. If you like are scrolling through a page or something like that, or expanding, I don't know, what's talked about in sermons or something like that, of branching things out a bit more than just like what is traditionally thought of services in Judaism and all of that, then maybe you'll draw more people in. Because I think it's hard, especially just in like today's day and age where we're so spread out, it's hard to find all those other aspects if you don't know to look for them.
One of the things that I've always been so amazed about in our tradition is the description of that moment at Mount Sinai, and the Exodus story is sort of leading us up to that. And there were a number of rabbis who really talked about the fact that even though everybody was there sort of seeing the same thing, they all heard it, perceived it a little bit differently, each in their own way. And God was able to do that, right? To know how everybody needed to understand it. Today, we don't have that ability. And so, you know, as I listen to you, Rachel, as I think, you know, how do we as rabbis, how do we as teachers, how do we as Jewish leaders start to make it more available in different modalities and in ways that maybe we wouldn't have connected to, but ways that those people who are searching now and those people who are looking now in their 20s and younger might connect to. And so this is a great conversation. Thank you so, so much for joining me and for helping me think about this. And as always, you can find all of our archived podcasts on www.betham.com/podcasts. And I look forward to being able to reconnect with Rabbi Ern when he gets back from Israel. Actually, next week, we will we'll be back together again with our podcast, and we hope to have you listen to us then. Shalom, everyone.